God bless you, Yadid, and shalom, beloved ones. Join me as we go on a journey together, discovering how the writings of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament connect. Shalom, Yadidim, and God bless you, beloved ones. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. We're going to be covering a special topic today. We're going to be talking about Hanukkah. We are in the midst of the Hanukkah season right now. Let's pray. Father God, we bless you today, and we ask you to release your word in spirit and in truth. Change our hearts, we ask, Abba, in Jesus' name and for Yeshua's fame, for your glory. Hallelujah and amen. Beloved, I want to tell you something that I think is really interesting. Did you know that the only place in Scripture that Hanukkah is mentioned is in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John? The reason that's important to realize is that oftentimes we often think of Hanukkah as an exclusively Jewish holiday, and yet the only place that Hanukkah is written about in the Bible, in either the Old Testament or the New Testament, is in the New Testament. Why is that? It's because the events that led to Hanukkah took place in what we call the intertestamental period. The intertestamental period is the period in history between the time that the Old Testament canon, the Old Testament books of the Bible, were finished being written and before the New Testament books began being written. So the period between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament is called the intertestamental period, and that's when the events that led to Hanukkah took place. I want to first of all tell you the historical story of Hanukkah. In around 168 BCE, Israel was living in their land. They were living in the land of Judea, but the land of Israel was being governed by the Greco-Assyrians. So even though Jewish people were living in their land, governmentally the land was being controlled by the Greco-Assyrians. And the Greco-Assyrians had an agenda. And what they wanted to do is to cause all people groups to assimilate to their culture. And they worship pagan gods. And they began to move through all the regions under their governmental providence to get everybody in their governmental providence to worship their pagan gods, to live like they did. And a group of that was particularly pesky to them were the Jewish people, because the Jewish people weren't so easily assimilating. They weren't so easily adopting this Greco-Assyrian culture. There was a leader over the government, the Greco-Assyrian leader. He was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. And he sent some troops into a Jewish city called Modin. And he sent his forces into the city of Modin to get the Jewish people that were living there to bow down and worship a false god. So when the Greco-Assyrian troops got into this Jewish-occupied city called Modin, they gathered the Jewish people in the city together, and they tried to force them there to worship a false god. One of the leading Jewish elders in the city was a priest by the name of Mattathias. And when the Greco-Assyrians said to Mattathias, the Jewish priest in the city, "Now bow down and worship this god," and Mattathias wouldn't do it, one of the other Jewish onlookers there was afraid of what the Greco-Assyrians were going to do to the group of Jews that were standing there, because the priest Mattathias wouldn't bow down and assimilate. And because he was afraid of the reprisal of the Greco-Assyrians attacking them all because of Mattathias' disobedience, the Jewish onlooker stepped forward and said, "I'll do it," to try to appease the anger of the Greco-Assyrian forces when Mattathias wouldn't bow down. And when this Jewish onlooker stepped forward to say, "I'll do it," Mattathias was so outraged, he took his sword and he killed his fellow Jew for compromising. As a result of this, the Greco-Assyrians began to come at Mattathias, but the rest of the Jews that were with Mattathias were so inspired by Mattathias' act of courage that they began now to attack the Greco-Assyrians. Because the Greco-Assyrians were not used to being resisted, they weren't prepared for this little ragtag group of Jews that began to go on the offensive against them. And this ragtag group of Jewish people were able to successfully drive them out, and they began a campaign. This group of Jewish people that later became known as the Maccabees, they began a campaign of guerrilla warfare where they would begin to hide in caves throughout their lands. And when the Greco-Assyrians would come into their lands, they'd come out from hiding from the caves, attack them. And after about 3 years, this ragtag army of Jewish believers were able to successfully drive the Greco-Assyrians all the way out of their land. They were able to recapture the temple in Jerusalem that the Greco-Assyrians had defiled, even sacrificing a pig in there to a pagan god. And the ragtag Maccabees, this group of faithful Jewish warriors, drove them out of the temple. And then they rededicated the temple to God. And that's what the word Hanukkah means. It means dedication. We read about it in John 10. It says the Feast of Dedication. Again, that's the English for the Hebrew Hanukkah. They were able to go back into the temple and in 164 BCE rededicated unto the Lord. And the story goes that when they went to light the menorah in the temple, there was only enough menorah, kosher oil there to burn the menorah for one day, but it supernaturally burned for 8 days. And so today, Jewish people all over the world, during Hanukkah, which falls on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev, they will light a menorah. This is different than this menorah here. This menorah here, you'll notice, has 7 branches to it. And this was the menorah in the tabernacle and in the temple. This is a symbol of Judaism today. But this menorah, the one that's in the tabernacle or was in the tabernacle and then later the temple, this is different than the Hanukkah menorah. Notice that the Hanukkah menorah, rather than having 7 branches to it, this Hanukkah menorah has a total of 9. You'll see with me, it has 8 on the bottom and then 1 on top called the shamash or servant candle, which is lit each night to then light the 8 candles, 1 on each night of Hanukkah. And the reason that we have this special menorah during Hanukkah is to show that there was enough oil in the temple when they went in to only last a day, but supernaturally it burned for 8 days. And so we light the shamash candle, the servant candle, each night, and then we take it on the first night, we light the first candle. On the second night, we light the first and the second, and on till we get through the 8th night, lighting the 8th candle. What's really interesting, beloved one, is that the day that the Jewish people were able to recapture the temple on the 25th of the Hebrew month of Kislev, this was the same exact day that the Greco-Assyrians had defiled it years earlier. So the same day that it was defiled, it was rededicated years later. I want to talk now a little bit more about the story of Hanukkah. Again, you'll hear some of these names, so I want you to be familiar with them. When the Greco-Assyrians came into this town of Modin and Mattathias, the Jewish priest there, resisted, that became the catalyst for the Jewish people to band together as an army that was eventually able to successfully drive the Greco-Assyrians out of their territories, even so far as them being driven out of the temple and then, again, them rededicating the temple to God on Hanukkah, or it's called Hanukkah as a result of being dedicated. But you'll also hear the name associated with Hanukkah, Maccabee. And the word Maccabee means hammer. And this army that was able to drive out the Greco-Assyrians were called the Maccabees. We even have a Jewish Olympics today called the Maccabee Games. It's named after these warriors of ancient times. And the word Maccabee, again, it means hammer. And it's taken, it was a nickname that was given to Mattathias' son, Judah. So Mattathias was the priest that started the revolt. But what happened was his son, Judah, took it over, and his son, Judah, was so effective in warfare that they named him the Maccabee, Judah the Maccabee, or Judah the Hammer, and the whole army then was called the Maccabees. Well, I want to talk about some of the cultures today that Jewish people celebrate during Hanukkah, and then I want to conclude today to talk about Yeshua and Hanukkah and some applications that apply to your life. First of all, when we light the menorah, beginning on the first day of Hanukkah, we sing a song. And I'm just going to sing the song. It goes like this. It goes, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav Vetzivanu lehaligner Shel Hanukkah. And we sing that as we light the menorah, as we light the menorah, and it means, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah lights. And when we light the menorah, or the festive lights, when we light the menorah, we place it, once we light it, we place it at a window so it can be seen by people that may be walking by the house or driving down the street. We want them to see the menorah being lit, because we're proclaiming that the God of Israel did a miracle. And so we're proclaiming the miracle that God did for us as Jewish people back in 164 BCE. Another tradition of Hanukkah is the tradition of a game that we play called the dreidel. You may have seen a dreidel. The dreidel's like a little spinning top. And the reason that we play this dreidel game is because one of the things that the Greco-Assyrians did to the Jewish people before they were able to gain their liberation was they tried to force them not only to worship false pagan gods, but they also sought to separate them from the worship of their God, the God of Israel. And so they made it illegal to study the Torah. And so what Jewish families did during this time is they would secretly study the Torah. And they would be in a building, and they would have a spy, a Jewish spy, that would be kind of looking around the windows, outside the windows of the building and outside the door of the building, looking for any Greco-Assyrian soldiers that would be coming. And then if there was a Greco-Assyrian soldier that was coming, the Jewish spy would quickly go in and warn all the Jewish people that were studying the Torah. They would hide the Torahs, and they would get these tops out. A little game, like a little spin top, and they would begin to spin them on their desk. And so when the Greco-Assyrian would come, it would appear that they were all just playing in the building. And so even today, we celebrate Hanukkah by having little tops called dreidels. And on the dreidel, there's four Hebrew letters. There's a nun, a gimel, a he, and a shin. And these four Hebrew letters stand for the saying, a great miracle happened there, meaning we're proclaiming that a great miracle happened at 164 BCE when the Lord liberated the Jewish people and gave them their temple back. And it's really interesting that some of you know that in Hebrew, the letters actually are assigned a numerical value. And so every Hebrew word has a numerical value. And it's interesting that these Hebrew letters that we put on the dreidel, and the Hebrew letters are Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin. These four Hebrew letters actually come up to the same numerical value as Mashiach or Messiah, 358. So that's just kind of a side note, but you know, we think of Hanukkah as a time of being liberated. We think of Hanukkah as a time where we're celebrating the supernatural light of God. And it was during this time, actually, beloved, of Hanukkah that Mashiach, that Jesus the Messiah, actually revealed himself as the Messiah. And so I'm going now to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. And in John chapter 10, verse number 22, we begin reading these words. It says, at that time, the feast of dedication. Now, remember what I told you that Hanukkah means. Hanukkah means dedication. So when we read in John 10, 22, at that time, the feast of dedication, this is Hanukkah. Again, dedication is just the English word for Hanukkah. So Jesus, your Messiah, celebrated Hanukkah. So that should make this of interest to you. It's not just a Jewish holiday for Jewish people, but it's part of your culture. You, as a Gentile believer, most of you, you've been grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel, and the culture of Israel and the traditions of Israel are now a gift and a blessing to you. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, speaking to the Gentiles, that the gift of Abraham, or the blessing that was on Abraham, the first Jew, has come upon you as a Gentile through Messiah Jesus, through Messiah Yeshua. So you should want to know about Hanukkah, because it's a way for you to be blessed. Look at it like this. If you're adopted, or if you think about someone that is adopted, someone that's adopted still has a curiosity about their biological parents. So for you, as a Gentile believer, the Bible says you've been adopted in Ephesians chapter 2. You've been adopted into the Commonwealth of Israel. So now that you're, you know, the Bible says in Romans 11 that you were formerly disconnected, but now in Messiah Yeshua, you've been grafted in. So you're like an adopted son. So as an adopted child, into the family of the God of Israel, you should, I would think, have an appreciation for your for the culture of your natural parent. So even as an adopted child would be curious as to who their biological parents were, just as we oftentimes hear that a biological child, when they get to be an adult or when they get to be 17 or 18, they're curious, well, I wonder who my biological parents are. Even though they were raised by other parents that function as parents, they gain a natural curiosity about who their biological parents are, and they even begin to seek them out. So what I'm saying, beloved one, is that you as a Gentile believer, I would think, would have a natural curiosity about your biological parents, so to speak, in the spirit, which brings you back to your foundation. The Bible says that you've been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Jesus said in John 4:22 that salvation's of the Jews. So I would think that and hope that you have an appreciation for these things, even though you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. But this is the natural branch that your faith comes out of. And so once again, with that being said, I'm going back to the text in John 10:22, where we find your Savior, Jesus, and my Savior celebrating Hanukkah. And so it says, at that time, the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Hanukkah, took place at Jerusalem. And they begin to challenge Jesus. They said, if you're the Messiah, if you're the Christ, and the Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which simply means the anointed one. So the equivalent of the Greek Christos, or Christ, meaning anointed one, the Hebrew equivalent for that is Mashiach, or Messiah, the anointed one in Hebrew. In fact, when these onlookers in John 10 questioned Jesus as to whether he was the Christ, they wouldn't have said Christ to him. They would have said, are you the Mashiach? Are you the Messiah? They would have spoken Hebrew. But the reason that we have it written in the New Testament in Greek is because God's purpose was that the revelation of Jesus would spread to the entire world. And Greek was the most common language of the world at the time. And so in God's design, he had the New Testament recorded in Greek so that most people would be able to understand it. But originally, remember, this is a Jewish platform that we're coming from. Jesus is a Jew. He's dealing with Jewish people. He's in the temple. They would have been speaking his own language. And so at that time, the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Hanukkah, they would have called it, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Yeshua, or Jesus, was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, or if you're the Mashiach or Messiah, tell us plainly. Yeshua answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. So in other words, he is in a subtle way. He is saying to them, I've already told you the works that I'm doing proclaim to you the answer to your question. I am the Messiah. And then he says to verse number 26, but you do not believe. Get it now, real strong prophetic mystery here. Jesus says this in John 10:26, but you do not believe, get it, because you are not of my sheep. Isn't that interesting? Jesus had a specific people that he knew were the sheep that his Father had given him. Jesus explained why they weren't believing. He says, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. In other words, the revelation hadn't been given to them. Jesus said, everyone that hears and learns from the Father will come to me. So Jesus recognized that these that were not receiving him, they were not part of the elect of the Father that the Father had sent Jesus in the world to save. I know that's a strong statement, but listen. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Yeshua looks at those that are not believing. He says, but you believe not because you're not my sheep. But I have sheep. I know my sheep. My Father's given them to me. I'm going to save them, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Now, I know this is a hard statement for some of you that are hearing this, but I want to go now to John chapter 17 to just bring a little bit more clarity to this mystery and this clear revelation in the Word of God. John chapter 17. I'm going to begin there in verse number 1. Yeshua spoke these things, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, John 17:1, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, and to all, listen now, here's the point, and to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is the same thing that Yeshua just got done saying in John 10. He says, but you believe not because you're not my sheep. He said, I know my sheep. My Father has given them to me. I give them eternal life and no one shall ever snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is saying the same thing here in John 17 too. He says that I have authority over all flesh, he said, and to give to all whom you've given me, who? To the ones the Father has given them. That's what Yeshua was referring to in John 10, to give them eternal life. And notice what he says here as he continues on. Verse number 6 of John 17, along the same theme, Yeshua says, I have manifested your name, listen now, to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Now I'm going to skip down to the 9th verse in John 17. Jesus said, I ask on their behalf. I did not ask on behalf of the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. And so this is a plain teaching, beloved, that Jesus, hallelujah, the light of the world, announced that he was the Messiah on Hanukkah. He also revealed on Hanukkah in John chapter 10 that his mission was to save the Father's elect, that to all whom the Father has given him, he would give them eternal life. Do you know, beloved one, how much God loves you if you love him as you're watching this broadcast? You love him because he first loved you. The fact that you believe in Jesus is evidence that you've been chosen by the Father. Surely, this is a time to give thanks. Father, we want to tell you today how thankful we are for Jesus the Messiah. Jesus, we can see you even now in our imagination standing in the temple as the light of the world, even as Hanukkah is also called the Feast of Lights, proclaiming that you're the Messiah and that you came into the world to save those whom the Father has given you. Jesus, we just want to tell you how much we love you and how thankful we are that you died on the cross for us, for our sins, and rose again. And now you're calling us up into heavenly places to be seated with you in your victory. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to extinguish the light, and that that light, Jesus, that emanates from you is now in us. And Jesus, even as that light in the menorah supernaturally burned for 8 days, we thank you that your light in us will supernaturally burn forever. Because of you, Jesus, hallelujah, we're alive for your name and for your fame. Shalom, beloved ones. Happy Hanukkah to you. One of the customs that we enjoy during Hanukkah in the Jewish community is to present each other gifts. I'm wondering, would you be willing to present to the Lord a special Hanukkah gift this year through Discovering the Jewish Jesus? It'll help us, beloved, to continue to broadcast, and your gift will be being used to reach people all over the earth for King Jesus.
Cynthia and I say to you, Happy Hanukkah. God bless you, and Happy New Year. Thank you again for your financial gifts in Jesus' name and for Yeshua's fame.
Shalom, Chavarim. Rabbi Schneider and I are Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. As a Gentile believer, having partnered with Discovering the Jewish Jesus, I feel more complete as a follower of Yeshua, and I am confident that the Lord will do the same for you. Here is how you can partner with us. Send your tax-deductible gift to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan, 49228. That's P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan, 49228. To make a credit card donation, call 1-800-240-1303. 1-800-240-1303. To donate securely online, go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To show our appreciation, we will send you an audio CD with one of Rabbi Schneider's recent teachings. If you are interested in Joshua James's new CD, Beauty in Motion, or other Messianic artists, or more teaching resources by Rabbi Schneider, please go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To have Rabbi Schneider or a ministry team member come and speak at your congregation, please have your pastor or leader call 1-800-240-1303. God bless you, Baruch Hashem, and Shalom.
Hi, I'm Cynthia, Rabbi's wife. The Lord says today, keep seeking me. Set your gaze upwards upon me, your hope. Look to me in all that you face, all that you do today, for through the blood of Jesus, all things are possible. And I am transforming even your darkness into my light. Thank you, beloved of God, for your love, your prayers, and your financial support to this ministry.
Shalom. If you have a testimony about how the Lord has used discovering the Jewish Jesus to change your life and you'd like to share it, please visit our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com and click on the testimonies link. Guy in Nevada writes, your lesson on discipline impacted me as if the Lord spoke through your mouth. Recently in a rebellious state, I had an accident and could have died, but God spared me. My eyes are wide open now and I answer his call. Your message on discipline is bringing me closer to Messiah, my Lord. Beloved, your financial support keeps us on the air to both bless you and thousands of others around the world. In supporting Discovering the Jewish Jesus, you become a partner with God in the building of his kingdom.
Yadid, as we close today, I'm going to be singing over you the Aaronic blessing found in the book of Bamidbar, or Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. The Lord, Yahweh, told the children of Israel that by singing this prayer, by speaking this prayer over his people, that we'd be invoking his name on his people, and that he would in turn bless us. Yavarecheche Yahweh, vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha, vichunecha. Yisad enai panav elecha, ve'asem lecha. Shalom. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift you up with his countenance, and may Yahweh give you his children his peace.
So my soul longs for you.